Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Rossi Live.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live, and today's show is a very important show because I'm going to have a wonderful friend of mine, an actress, Colleen Shelley, on. And women, particularly ladies listening, this is a very important show. We're going to show you how to beat breast cancer through detection and protection of yourself, and we'll talk about that among other things. And we'll be back in about 20 seconds with Colleen Shelley, star of stage and screen, and talk about the importance of you taking care of yourself and getting checked for breast cancer on Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome, Colleen. How are you?
Hi, Richard. Thank you for having me here today.
It's nice to have my, we've been on stage spouses a couple times, right?
Right.
Let's see, in Nuts, we were Art and Rose Kirk, and then Lau directed a play that we were husband and wife, right?
Right, uh-huh. It was a Pinter play.
Yeah, were those? Was there another one, or was those the two?
No, but we were in Alice in Wonderland together.
Yeah, you were
Alice
the
Alice. I was the White Queen.
You were the White Queen, and I was Reverend Charles Dodson, who wrote Alice in Wonderland under the pen name Lewis Carroll. And you were a great White Queen.
I do crazy well.
yeah. Well, crazy is exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Well, you know, there's been all this fear in the news about Ebola and people panicking about, you know, things like that. But really, the biggest cancer, the number one cancer that women get is breast cancer. And I really appreciate you, you know, talking about something so personal that you had a scare with this recently, but thankfully we have a happy ending to report. What happened? Like, how were you tipped off that there could have been an issue?
Well, fortunately for me, thank you, Obamacare, my husband and I have been going without health insurance for many, many years, even though he worked on a television show. It was a non-union show, and he was just given a small stipend to provide health insurance for the family. And my acting career, which I have to say is sort of meager at best these days, I wasn't making the minimum for the Screen Actors Guild. I was teaching more than I was actually performing on film and television and commercials. So we didn't have health insurance, and the money that we had went to my youngest daughter, who had a number of health issues and was in a really high-risk pool that was expensive, and we couldn't change insurance. And because of that, we were paying a lot of money, and we couldn't switch around or make other decisions as a family. So in January, we got the news that my brother was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, which put us all in a frenzy that we all had to get colonoscopies. He became the poster child for colonoscopies, and we all scheduled them. And I also had to get another mammogram, which turned into a sonogram, and they saw something 6 months ago that I guess they were concerned about. And then right at the very beginning of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, last month.
That was last month, yeah.
October, I got a sort of hysterical phone call from my new, young, beautiful doctor. And she said I had to get in to see a surgeon right away, ASAP. If they didn't call me in 24 hours, I was to call them back. And she seemed quite excited, is that a weird word to say, but alarmed is what I felt. And I remember saying some sort of odd things to her, like I wasn't really processing it. And then I had to run off and do something else. And I did get a phone call from this surgeon, and they wanted to see me right away. And I went in, and his name is Dr. Fields, but I called him Dr. Fields Good because he was gorgeous, and I'm not joking. He was very handsome surgeon, and he wanted me to get a needle biopsy because of things they had seen on the sonogram, some changes that they were concerned about. But then I told him about some other things that had been bothering me in that in my right breast, a burning sensation and some weird things that were happening to my nipple, and completely nothing going on in the left breast, but on this right breast there was a lot of weird, like, electrical burning feelings. So he became concerned over that and scheduled a second biopsy to take a piece of my nipple. And my friend Yvonne had taken me to this consultation, and she said, well, what are you looking for? You know, and he said, oh, well, she might have this rare form of breast cancer called Paget's disease. And at first I thought he said Pageant's disease. Like, I thought, oh my God, I did the Renaissance Fair all these years. I've gone to one too many pageants. So, of course I would get Pageant's disease, but it's Paget's disease. And it's very rare, but it's quite dramatic. And so my friend turned to him and said, well, what would happen if she had this? And he said, oh, well, I'll be scheduling a radical mastectomy in right after we get this diagnosis, like in 48 hours.
So he probably felt scared at this point, huh?
At this point, I mean, I'm kind of trying to make light of this. My friend is trying to film it and what's going on, and she's taking notes. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this could be really serious. You know, this is something, you know, I don't know what to expect here. So I went in for the first needle biopsy, which was done in a radiologist's suite with another gorgeous doctor, by the way, and wonderful people all along the way that were doing these procedures. The staff and the nurses and the technicians were also so great. And they did it with a local anesthetic, and they put little metal markers in places where they wanted to be able to find them again on a mammogram. And I was told that the second biopsy would be the following Monday, and then I would have the results in a week. So you think, oh, just in a week, but, you know, you can get some crazy thinking going on in a week, wondering what this is going to be like.
And I remember we were all praying for you and, you know, just really concerned because this was a question mark. And I'm glad it had a much happier ending for you, huh, than others. Because
yes. I mean, it was, the actual, both the biopsies were, it was a lot of bruising, a lot of swelling. I really didn't react well to the lidocaine, Novocaine cocktails that they, you know, shot into my breast. I had a lot of pain, and after the week, I went and I was scheduled for a colonoscopy, like, the following week, and they called to cancel it and change it till December. I was so relieved because I thought, oh, I can't go through that on top of this right at this very moment. And I had my cousin call me. She told me she had had a biopsy, and she wanted to know if I wanted her to go with me to hear the results because she had gone by herself. And when she was sitting there waiting for the doctor to come in, she thought, oh, my God, why am I here by myself? What if it's bad news? Do I really want to hear that all by myself? So I was, concerned about having somebody come with me all of a sudden because I thought, well, it's not a procedure. You can drive yourself, you know. They're just going to tell you something. But in the end, I had my friend come with me, and he was very knowledgeable. He works in the medical industry. And had a lot of, but the doctor I knew immediately because he came bounding in like a puppy, so happy and excited, and, you know, that they didn't find anything either way, and, you know, but to let me know that I have to be very vigilant on making those mammogram appointments every year, and that they will probably schedule a sonogram after to check on the spots that they left the markers in and just to keep a close eye on it. But he was very excited that there was nothing wrong, and I feel really great about that diagnosis. But I also had been with my closest friend who did not have such happy news and who passed away, it's been almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years this February.
What was your friend's name?
Her name was Jilly.
Jilly.
She's English.
Well, we'll dedicate this show to Jilly and also to my friend, Nelda Fix, who passed away from breast cancer. This is the number one cancer of killing women. So some of the cues are, you mentioned a burning or a pain in the breast, a lump in the breast. The mammogram is the big thing, the checking yourself, isn't it? Both checking yourself and then getting the doctors to check up on
you. Well, and the doctor said, you know, that I had to be very vigilant in checking myself at both breasts, you know, at least once a month.
And I know I'm probably missing some symptoms. I know you look for lumps, you look for maybe pain or anything that's just abnormal.
Well, and I know that a family history, too. Jilly's mother had breast cancer. What happened with Jilly is that she had felt a lump, felt something was wrong for quite a while, and didn't tell any of us. And then I went over and saw her because she'd been kind of, you know, holed up in her house and hadn't been coming out with us, and she did not look good, and she had no health insurance either. She's an actress. And she was scared, and I got her into an urgent care that my other cousin was working at. We kind of went through behind, you know, the scenes and got her in, and the doctor was very concerned, and they did a biopsy, and the news was not good, and she had a mastectomy at Olive View Hospital and then would not do the chemo and the radiation, and 7 years later, it came back, and we ended up at the City of Hope, and then it spread to her colon, and within 8 months, going back and forth to the City of Hope, you know, she sort of withered away, and I think in some ways she sort of lost the will to live as well, and I think, it makes you think. I was thinking about, especially because we're old Renaissance fair girls, and, you know, a couple of times a year we put on those bodices and we hoist our sisters up to display them for the crowds, and we have a special association with our breasts. But as women, we do, and I started to think, well, what if? What if they had to take these off? What would I do?
Yeah.
You know, I would take them both off, and then I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to have, I looked online and I saw these beautiful tattoos. Women were doing these fabulous tattoos on their scars and whatever. And I thought, well, I'll do this Commedia dell'arte scene with all the players and all of this. And I told my older daughter, Molly, about this. And she has quite a few tattoos herself. And she's like, oh, my God, Mom, you'll never be able to handle having a tattoo. It's very painful. I said, well, I handled giving birth to you, Molly. Maybe I have a different association with pain.
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't know when a lot of women lose their nipples with the surgery. They now have people that tattoo a nipple on.
Right, but that can go one way or the other, because if that was going to happen to me, I was going to go to, like, the best tattoo artist on the planet. Because my friend, Melanie, who has breast cancer, and they, you know, took her nipple, and then the doctor himself, who is not an artist, shall we say, put the nipple on, and she was quite unhappy about the outcome of that and the way it looked. And regretted that she let the doctor do it and not a tattoo artist.
And she didn't like how it looked. Did it look fake or?
Oh yeah, it looked really alien and strange and you know. And then of course, you know, her left breast was normal, so the fact that they look so different.
Yeah.
And you know, I said, so you got to go. So she made an appointment. She hasn't gone yet, but she made an appointment with this tattoo artist who has now, he really has no time to really do other kinds of tattoos because women have found out about him and they love what he's doing. And in some cases, they don't even have it look like a nipple. They'll put a little wreath or some sort of, you know, decoration or whatever. So,
well, you raised a really, I think, big point about, you know, the self-esteem issues that
our culture, you know, has so much fixation on breasts, and so as a woman, you know, and you thought about, well, how would I handle that? One of the guests I've had on the show in the past, Sally Kirkland, the actress, has a foundation, you know, kind of warning women, a lot of women, not to succumb to our culture's messages, and particularly a lot of women have even been damaged by the breast augmentation and the boob jobs, and they get these chemicals in them, which sometimes contribute to cancer. And do you think a lot of women, maybe their sense of self-esteem or feeling sexy is affected initially, or they go through issues like that psychologically through going through something like this?
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm 58 years old, and I've, you know, my children are grown, and I'm a grandmother now, but I am in a new relationship, and I have to say that when I was going through all this, I felt very freaked out. Like, he's just, you know, he didn't know he was signing up for this, you know. And but I think if I was younger, I would probably had been more looking into the breast reconstruction and, you know, how to make them still look viable, because as an actress, you know, it's a big part of the job now. I mean, not for us grandmas anymore, but, you know, in the younger actresses, you know, their body is their meal ticket in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and a lot of great people have went down to this breast cancer. It's affected all of us. My mother-in-law fortunately survived breast cancer and the mastectomy we're all praying for. But we hear all the time, I think it was Marcia Strassman, the wife on
she just Welcome
passed
Back away. Daughter.
I think it was breast cancer that she passed away from, if I remember correctly. But there's been a lot of... it's really affected a lot of us. And one of the things you mentioned was that your friend was a little hesitant. Yeah, Marcia Strassman from Welcome Back Cotter, the breast cancer spread to her bones, and she died here about 2 minutes from here in her home in Sherman Oaks. She was 66. So those of you listening, women, make sure you get checked. And don't be like the friend Colleen mentioned that kind of hesitated because of insurance issues initially. You know, that's something that really gets my goat is here we are, we're the only advanced nation for so many years. You know, you go to Europe and Canada and all these other places, it wouldn't be an issue. But so many, for so many years, you know, didn't have insurance in this country. And so they think twice, well, I can't afford to go to the doctor. But, you know, the delay to get checked is really can be the difference, isn't it?
It really was. And also isolating from your friends, if you're afraid that something's going on, you know, you need to reach out to your women friends, because we all, you know, could be in this boat at any time, and we all have to, you know, help each other get through this. And I have to say that my time spent out at the City of Hope was, even though it began to seem more and more hopeless as her condition really radically changed, after she passed, my younger daughter, Zoe, who's 20 now, said, Mom, you were the luckiest one because you got to spend so much time with her. I mean, I did help her get in and out of the car and drive her there and get her into the wheelchair and get her in for these treatments that were very intense. And I have to say, though, in spite of the fact that these journeys were fraught with, you know, pain and suffering, we also had a lot of laughs. We cracked each other up all the time, and it was a really special time to spend with somebody who was going through this. And because Jilly refused to do chemotherapy, she had this long, waist-length silver hair, and she was from England, and she was like this fairy tale character, and the people at the City of Hope who were struggling and who didn't have the hair, we became kind of like celebrities out there. People looked forward to seeing us who were going through treatment, and we made a lot of friends out there on our journey.
Oh, well, there's some good that comes out of the bad. For those of us that have been touched by this, you know, someone close to us, this is, you know, we know such an important issue. And I'm going to invite you to call in or email in any comments or questions.
You can call in at 347-637-2379. If you're listening live, it's on the screen there, 347-637-2379, or email your questions to richardrossilive@gmail.com. We'll take a brief break for program identification, and we'll be back with your questions and with actress Colleen Shelley. Colleen has, as I said before, not only played my wife on stage, she played Gretchen on the popular soap opera General Hospital. In this show, we're lovingly dedicating to the memory of my friend Nelda Fix, who passed from breast cancer, and to Colleen's friend Jilly, who passed from breast cancer. And we'll be back in just a moment at Richard Rossi Live.
I know what you're thinking. Since the phone lines are all busy, should I or shouldn't I keep calling? Well, if I were you, I'd keep trying. Go ahead and make your day.
We're back at Richard Rossi Live with Colleen Shelley. And as I said, you can email your questions at richardrossilive@gmail.com. Or you can call in the number on your screen. Well, we're so happy you had a happy ending with this, Colleen. I know that there's a lot more good things for you to do here.
Well, it really does give you a moment in time to reflect on your life and reflect on the choices you would want to make to save your own life.
Mm-hmm.
I know with my brother's cancer, he is being more resistant to Western medicine has to offer. He's done some hemp oil treatment. He's altered his diet very radically.
That's so funny. That's a question. I'm just looking at the questions emailed in, and someone asked about a good diet for breast cancer. I'd imagine, you know, any of the nutritious stuff like fruits and vegetables.
Right, and obviously smoking and alcohol use is the first thing my brother did was to quit drinking entirely. And he's a musician and he plays in Florida. And, you know, for many, many years until I think just very recently, they were still allowed to smoke in all of these clubs and things, that, although he never smoked himself. But then he started to think about things that he might have thought of and, you know, some old bitterness and resentments that he carried around. Could that be a part of it? I mean, we don't really know exactly what causes cancer in one person and not in another. They can have the identical diet and, you know, or how does some person who smokes until they're like in their 90s, you know, and then somebody else who doesn't smoke ends up with lung cancer. So, I mean, I think that we all need to be aware of the kind of choices, lifestyle choices we make.
Oh, someone asked here, Karen emailed a question in, if the mammograms, are mammograms painful?
Oh, yes. In my case, I have very large breasts, and one of the reasons I had been more negligent about getting them is that one of the last ones that I had prior to this new health care that I had, funny, but the woman who was doing it was kind of a crazy lady, and she, you know, she squished my breasts down. I mean, they look like, I'm not kidding, they look like beaver's tails. They were so flat.
So they're compressing them.
Compressing it, but she wasn't liking the way that I was standing, and she had me doing this strange little dance with her, and I started to laugh, and I couldn't stop. I got kind of hysterical, you know, like the craziest moment in time, and I didn't want to go back, and then they would send me for a sonogram anyway, and I thought, well, why should I have to go through the mammogram to get to the sonogram? Well, this doctor just explained to me that the mammogram is an incredible overview of what's going on, and that the sonogram is to pinpoint things that the mammogram has put up, so you really, you can't do one without the other, which I was hoping I could get away with, but you can't, he said. And he said eventually, you know, the mammogram will become obsolete and people, you will go and get MRIs for these things. But we're not there yet. So, ladies, you have to go out and suffer through the mammograms. And I've talked to women of varying sizes of breasts, and, you know, sometimes us larger ladies really, you know, get kind of battered and bruised from the mammogram. But my friends, my two friends who are sisters who are very tiny-breasted, talk of the horror of them trying to squeeze what little they have under the...
Wow, so... Now, Linda from Kansas asks, how often should I go? Would it be like a yearly physical?
Yeah, it's a yearly thing in your physical, and most insurance, it's paid for. But you really do have to be self-aware and really, you know, follow every month checking your own self, because things can happen. According to the doctor, these nodules that were in my right breast had changed very dramatically from 6 months ago, you know, gotten much larger. That's why they were alarmed when they saw that in the second sonogram.
Oh, here's a nice comment from Anna in Palos Verdes, that physical activity is really good to reduce the risk. Even if you can't get to the gym, walking is great. So that's a good tip, isn't it? Just to
walking. And I'm
not sure why that helps, but
right, I know. And I had lost a lot of weight last year swimming and walking, and I was really being very proactive about my health. And then I got a very rapid cataract in my right eye that was very disturbing, and they also biopsied that for a rare kind of, you know, eye cancer. So that was scary too. But then I had the cataract surgery. But, you know, I couldn't drive. I sat at home. But I have to say I did finish my screenplay while I was, you know, sort of the blind girl.
Wow,
but,
that's a good thing.
But I really felt so much better when I was swimming and walking and exercising. And now that this is behind me, that's really on my list of things to get back into and be more proactive and, you know, keeping myself healthy.
We have another question about alcohol and the risk. And so I pulled up some stats. One drink per day, alcoholic drink, does increase the risk of breast cancer. Having more than one drink per day is a significant risk factor. Alcohol increases estrogen in the bloodstream.
That's another thing I wanted to bring up, because I started menopause at 50,
uh-huh.
58, and I had a very rough time, worse than most of my friends, with, you know, terrible night sweats and sleeplessness and mood swings, and I was just going crazy, and I was going to an urgent care, and the doctor gave me a low dosage of Prempro, which I have taken on and off through the years. Anytime I needed to do a play with Richard Rossi and learn my lines, I would go back on this stuff. Well,
I remember in one of our rehearsals you were talking about hot flashes.
No. I would be in nuts. We would sit in that stage. I had this polyester jacket on, and I'd just be like drenched.
Those costumes were very hot, I remember.
Under the lights. But the first thing the doctor said, do you take any artificial? And I had to admit yes. And he literally goes, do you have them on you? I go, they're in my purse. He goes, hand them over. Hand them over. You're not going to take these ever again. He took them away. So not only was I sort of reeling from the consequences of the biopsies, my whole hormone ride became a roller coaster. So I'm glad to say that my boyfriend is still with me in spite of all of that.
Wow. Well, we are so proud of you. You've handled everything so well. We had another message come in from Deborah Funes, F-U-N-E-S. She is doing a movie, it says, to raise awareness of breast cancer and how to help women. I guess she has a crowdfunding campaign. I'm trying to find this link here that she sent. And we're kind of, oh, here it is, Indiegogo. And she asked if we'd mention it. So if you go to Indiegogo, and you could search Touch My Heart, Deborah Funes, F-U-N-E-S, she's a
a model who is a very beautiful model, you know, very popular, you know, kind of a very vivacious, sexy model, and she was struck with this. So Colleen was talking about how, as women, a lot of times your, you know, identity, your sex appeal, this is something that affects a woman at a core, especially someone like Deborah, who this is a lot of her work is as a model and an actress and everything. So she has starting to raise. She has a $12,000 goal to do this film, and asked if I would plug it on the show today. And she has in the film, she's going to show a lot of things that can help women with this. So Indiegogo, Deborah Funes, Touch My Heart. Anyways, giving Deborah that little plug and support for her work. And Colleen, it's been such a blessing having you. The time just whipped by here. We're already not only out of time, we're getting a few gray seconds here. But thank you so much. I'd love to have you back on the show again.
Oh, I'd love to be back.
We can talk about just anything, even what's going on in the news, I think, whatever. But I'm so glad you're okay, and there's many more parts for you to play, so I'm glad you're healthy now.
Right. I'm excited to have a new lease on life.
New lease on life. Has it caused you to appreciate life more, or be aware of how lucky you are?
I have always known how lucky I am. I've had a really blessed life, and I have beautiful children and a gorgeous grandson, and I have, you know, one wonderful ex-husband, and soon to have another wonderful ex-husband. New guy in my life. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to my life as a grandma now, and go back out into the world as an older actress, and hopefully there's still a place for some of us old gals out there.
Well, you know, you are a great wife. I've been married to you twice on stage. You stuck by my character, even though he was a real jerk occasionally.
He was so misunderstood.
Yeah, you stood by me, man. You were like Tammy Wynette in those plays, did you? But anyways, thank you so much, Colleen, and thank you all you for listening. And by the way, this link of this show is good in perpetuity, so send it to somebody, you know, copy-paste it, send it to anyone that's affected by breast cancer or wants to just hear a good show. Colleen did such a wonderful job in laying everything out about this. So share the link and listen to the show by replay. Go with God and be blessed. I'm grateful for all of you tuning in from coast to coast. And also hi to our listeners in Europe that sent a message that they're enjoying the show there. And we'll be back with you again soon on Richard Rossi Live. Thanks again.